Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, it's our honor to talk to Landy Dale. Now, Landy is the son of William Stone Dale, who was the owner of Farmers Bank of Nicholasville. Farmers Bank is the sponsor of this program, All Things Jessamine. We'll talk to Landy about his dad and about the bank right after this word from the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you with us on this Saturday morning. We continue to remember people, places, and things about Jessamine County. Well, a couple of months ago, we were beginning to be sponsored by a group here in this county. In fact, probably one of the longest running businesses still around in our county, and that is the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County. With us today, we are talking to Landy Dale. Landy was the son of William Dale, who ran the bank for many, many years, and we just want to remember the bank and him and his family and the contributions that they made to our county. Good morning, Landy.
Good morning.
Appreciate you coming in this day and talking about your organization and your dad and your mom and all them. I had the pleasure of knowing Mr. Dale. I don't know that I ever met your mother, though, but I did know your dad. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody in this town ever say a bad thing about him. Just everybody talks about how pleasant a man he was and things like that. So we want to learn a little bit more about him and you guys. I guess the place to start is the starting date. Where was your dad born? How did he even come to be here?
He was born over basically in Keene, but it was on the Keene-Troy Road, just south of where Brandon Road comes out now, over there. And he lived there for about a year. He wasn't hardly a year old. And they moved over to Ashgrove Pike, where the Fred Shuhart place was, or a lot of people know it as the David Marshall.
Yeah.
And he lived there till he was about... 10 or 11 years old, and then they moved to Lexington.
Now, at what point did he come back to Jessamine County?
Right after he got out of school. Well, he had appendicitis when he was a junior at UK.
Yeah.
And that back then, that was quite an ordeal.
I'm sure.
I mean, you had to stay home for 2 weeks after you got after 10 days at the hospital. So. But he never went back to school after that. In fact, that was the last time he was in the hospital for an overnight stay until 1998.
Wow, right before.
That was a long time. Yeah, for an overnight stay now.
Now, what did he go to school for? He didn't get to finish.
Agriculture.
He went for agriculture. So his whole mindset was he was going to be a farmer, I assume.
Yeah.
So he went to school, and that didn't work out. When he had his appendicitis and didn't go back, did he farm? Was that his next course of action?
Yeah, he farmed with his granddad, William Russell Stone. And that's who lived up there at the house at the corner of Brandon Road and Nicholasville Road.
Okay.
The one with the tall columns.
Right, where your dad lived when he died. That's where he was living, correct?
Yeah,
and correct. Was that where you were raised?
Yeah, I was born and raised on that side of the road.
On that side of the road.
Yeah.
Okay, so he decided to be a farmer. Now, what year would that have been about?
Well, he got married in 1929, so I guess that helped make up your mind what you're going to do
somewhere
in life.
Right.
And he knew he wasn't going to do anything else, so he just kind of worked it out between his granddad and his uncles and stuff.
Where was your mother from then?
She was from Mount Sterling, originally.
And how did they meet?
I'm not exactly sure. Her brother-in-law was Roy Land, and that's who I'm named after.
Okay.
And Roy Land was connected with the warehouses in Lexington, and Roy was married to my mother's half-sister.
Okay.
And when she was 12 years old, she came over here to Lexington to live with her half-sister, and I don't know why that was, but anyway, that's...
So your dad and your mom met through that connection, married in 1929, right around Depression time, and I guess was going to be farmer. Now, did he farm when they got married? Is that what he did for a while?
Yeah, he always did something on the farm. He just loved his granddaddy. He'd be with his granddaddy on that farm.
Yeah.
you know, just any time he could. And he started his first bank account at the in 1915. I've got that bank book at home.
Really?
His granddaddy gave him some, they'd housed the tobacco that was out, raised out in the garden, and they'd suckered out again. And he told him if he'd go out there and get those leaves and take care of them, he'd sell them at the warehouse, and that was the money
you made. Now, do you know where, well, yes, you do. You have the book. Where was that bank account started at?
Farmers Exchange.
At Farmers Exchange, here.
Yeah.
Which was, that's what it was called then, was the Farmers Exchange. Do you know when that bank started, the Farmers Exchange Bank?
I don't know.
When did your dad get involved with the bank?
In 1945.
Okay, so we're going on down the pike. So 30 years prior to that, he had a bank account at the old Farmers Exchange.
Yeah, he was 8 years old at the time.
Which was an old-looking building. We've seen pictures of that, and it was a very tall, ornate building, the best I can remember at that time. All right, so it was Farmers Exchange. Now, at some point in his life, after 1929, I guess, and after he was married, it came upon him to get in the banking business. How did that happen that he would be associated?
I think they asked him to be on the board of directors.
Okay. So that's how it started. He was on the board. Now, had it changed to Farmers Bank at that time, or is it still?
Yeah, it was reestablished in 1935 as Farmers Bank.
Okay. But he came on the board later in the 40s.
About 10 years later,
And was on, well, you take us down the road from there. He started as a board of directors and just went right on up the chain, I guess, right?
Well, he was asked to be on the board of directors, and in order to do that, you had to have 10 shares, which he didn't have, 10 shares of the bank. But his dad let him have 10 shares at the time so he could be eligible to be on the board.
Okay.
And then from there on, the stock sold over the years, they would come up, the offering would be there, and if he had the money available, he would
he'd buy it
or offered to buy it.
Now, so at some point in time, he reached majority.
Yeah, it kept on till he always had the money there. I mean, he was just thrifty. And he didn't mean to hog it all, but if none of the other directors had it or had the money, the funds, he would buy. He'd buy the shares, and he got up to 30% at one time. And John Watts was another board director.
Who was a former congressman that owned the orchard as we know it now. Yeah. It was an orchard.
And he died, and he had 20%. After his death, time went by, and his stock became available. And they had acquired it, so that made him 50%.
That gave him his 50. Well, let's stop. When would that have been? When Congressman Watts died, was that in the 60s?
I think so.
Okay. So let's stop right there at that point and back up a little bit and talk more about personal life because we want to go on with the bank, but I want to kind of get this somewhat in order. Let's talk about you kids. Mm. Three children came into the family. Just give us real quick when you guys were born and your names, and we'll go from there.
Well, I had an older brother. Everybody called him Stoney. He was William Stonedale Jr. And he was adopted. My mother thought that she couldn't have children.
Okay.
And so in 1936, January of 36, they got Stoney when he was a baby. And then 10 years later in 45, she got pregnant and had the twins, myself.
You and your sister. You're a twin.
Yeah.
Now, you, I guess, kind of followed in Dad's footsteps more than any with the farming and the banking, correct? Tell us about your sister. What has she done with her life?
Well, she's married Jerry Gurman over in Danville. He's a farmer, warehouse guy. Berkman Mills is what his primary interest was in there. He's also, I think he's president of the Farmers National Bank over in Danville.
So banking has just been a mainstay in your all's family for just about almost everybody anyway. Yeah. All right, so the kids have come along, and he finally gets to his 50%. Now, did he continue farming at that time? What did he consider himself? If you just walked up to him on the street and said, "Mr. Dale, what's your occupation?" What would he tell you?
Be a farmer.
He'd tell you he's a farmer, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I don't run a bank. I don't run one.
You're just a farmer.
Yeah.
Now, did he own at some point more than 50?
Yeah, a few shares over that. Yeah. I have a little over 60 myself.
Yeah. And you know, when you go, of course, Farmers Bank, as I said in the opening, if you looked at businesses in this town, I don't know now that there are any that have continuously operated, maybe the Valley View Ferry. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I guess you are probably the longest continuous run business in our county, aren't you? Wouldn't you be?
I haven't checked into it, but it would certainly have to be in the top five.
It would have to be. I can't think of what else. You know, I know at one time, First National Bank, which is out of business now, it had been for a while, but I would almost bet you're right up at the top or pretty daggone close to it. And it's continued on and served a whole lot of people. And let's talk about the bank a little bit. I want to throw some names out at you of some people that maybe used to work there and just kind of give me one or two sentences about them. Let's talk about Mr. Jeter and the role he played. Now, was he president of the bank?
Yeah.
Okay. And he was also mayor of Nicholasville.
Mayor of Nicholasville. He used to be a bank examiner, and I didn't know him personally that well because it was back in my younger years. He ran a pretty stern ship, you know. In fact, I heard one story that he was in the bank. Somebody pulled up outside on the York Street, he thought they were going to rob the bank, and he went outside and met him outside and told him to go on. They didn't even have a chance to come on inside.
Well, now let me ask you, since you brought that up, was that after the Farmers Bank actually had the explosion when somebody tried to rob it? That was back in the 50s, right? Around mid-50s?
53, I think.
Okay.
January of 53 or February of 53.
And for those people listening, because, Landy, we find out on this show, we have some people listening that are from here and remember things like that. And we have a lot of new people who are learning.
Yeah.
Back in this time, the way I understood it always is that there's a thing called a town branch in our town, folks. And it runs under the town. It runs under Main Street. And it's a waterway. You can actually see it over behind Hager and Cunda Funeral Home and where Southern Silver lay, and you can actually see it over on the other side of town running there by the health department and down there. But it runs right under the bank or in that area.
Yeah, it did.
So the way I've always been told is that somebody, I guess, went under there deciding that'd be a great place to put some dynamite to blow up Farmers Bank. Now, the story I always heard was that they tried it once and evidently thought, well, we don't have enough dynamite, so they came back with more. Is that right?
That's the way I understand it.
And the one they came back with more, they blew the fire out of that place on a hole in the side of the building, and the vault just boom. Yeah. And I don't know, did they get away with anything?
I don't think they per se got away from anything. I've heard different people indicate they've got coins that they picked up off the street.
Yeah. And on our Facebook group, You Grew Up in Jessamine County, we've got pictures, actually, that people have given us of the explosion and things like that. And I remember that the classic saying at that time is there was a policeman, Cooper Wilhoit was his name. And his phrase was, well, it had to be an inside or an outside job. Well, yeah, I guess it did. There's no other way it could be. But that happened in the 50s. So do you think that Mr. Jeter was kind of skittish about that, and that's what brought that up?
I wouldn't have any idea. Although I think he did approach that guy. It was after the explosion.
Yeah.
You mentioned the town branch. We had to move it when we rebuilt the existing building there, and it actually runs under the sidewalk on the north side of the branch. But when they did this renovation of Main Street down here,
just a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago, they had no idea that branch was under there.
Wow.
That was unbelievable.
Wow.
We were sitting up on the second story of the bank, and somebody had a jackhammer out there, jackhammering the sidewalk down to the ground. I said, well, they'll be hitting that town branch for long. And sure enough, it started making a thud rather than a solid sound, and everything just came to a complete stop. And after the meeting, we were down there talking to them, and they had no idea. It wasn't shown on any maps of any kind.
Wow.
You think, being a U.S. highway, that it would be there, but they didn't have any idea.
Interesting. Well, we talk about Jeter, and I'm just throwing names. Bill Carter. My gosh, how long was Bill Carter there?
Oh, Bill was there for, gosh, I don't know how long. It is a long time, as far back as I can remember.
Long time.
Yeah.
Marie Frog, another one that was there for...
Remember all the... You're going way back.
Many years, And Marie, of course, was a sister of Roger Easley, who was our postmaster here in town for a while. And it was funny because he was, the way I understand it, you're talking about connections. And it's funny how all this connects up, is that Roger Easley kind of got his postmaster job because of John C. Watts, who you just mentioned, who was on the board there.
So the circle comes around.
It comes around. But Marie Frog was there. I mean, there was there was a lot of people. Farmers Bank has employed a lot of people in Jessamine County.
They have over the years.
Yeah.
And it's we're one of 14 banking institutions in Nicholasville. People don't realize
that's
that
hard
many,
to believe, isn't it?
But we're the only family-owned, locally-owned bank.
Of any of them.
Yeah. And there's 14 banking institutions, and as I understand it, we have 19% of the deposits in Jessamine County.
Really?
Yeah.
Almost, that's the almost a fifth, and there's 14 banks.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
You're pretty proud of
it. You should be. You should be. And, of course, you had some names on your board that has been so well known.
No.
You know, and even names that used to be. You know, I can remember, you know, people like Henry Thompson and Dr. Dunkelberger. Yeah. And, of course, now, you know, some of the people you have there, Neil Cassidy and different ones are – and I'm not trying to miss anybody, but you just – it's always been a Jessamine County entity. You all have kept it that way.
Well, we've tried to.
We've tried to. And, you know, of course, times have changed in that banking is so different than it used to be. We just did a show a week or so ago about Thompson's Food Town. And Ann Nicholson and Carol Brown were here talking about Cleveland Elizabeth. And they were talking about at the old Food Town how that they used to keep blank counter checks from Farmers Bank and from First National laying on the checkout lanes. Didn't have a number, didn't have a checking number on it, an account number. But people could come through and just pick one up if they banked at Farmers, and they'd fill it out, the amount, and they'd sign it, and it'd go through without any problem at all.
Well, back then it was a small community and relatively small.
You knew
but everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just took your word for it. If you wrote a check, it was good.
Did your dad ever say, what did he enjoy about the banking business? Did he ever express that to you? Or what do you think? Why do you think he enjoyed it?
Just the ownership of it. There's very few people in the country, I forgot the figures on it now, that people, individuals that actually own the bank.
Yeah.
And he enjoyed that as much as anything.
But his true love was farming.
Yeah.
I mean, did he have any particular thing he farmed? I mean, I've always saw cattle up there.
Well, the cattle were, he bought them in 1945. It was a closed herd ever since he's bought it. He never bought another heifer or cow into the herd.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there's just a few of them left up there now. I gave them to my son.
Yeah.
He loves sheep. I didn't quite have the love for him that he did. And he had hogs at one time. And then when I got called up to active duty, he sold it. He only had 10 hogs, but he sold them because I was going to be away for a while.
I want to make sure you know where we're talking about. When you go up 27 towards Fayette County, at the corner, as he mentioned, of Brandon and 27, on your left, it's the last farm before Fayette County. Mm-hmm. Now, you own the other side, too, right?
True.
You own the side on the other side of the road? That's your place.
Yeah, Red Robin side or the antique shop.
So you're the last farm on the right before you hit the line, and his place over there is the last one on the left before you hit the line.
Yeah.
And if you see his place, I mean, it's his house and those barns and this, the look of it is it looks like just a what you would picture as a royal southern farm. I don't know how to explain
it.
Well,
he was very
proud of it. The architecture and the way the house looks and the barn and
he was very proud of it. And in 1936, I believe, is when they changed the front facade of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But he spent a lot of money on that. And that barn up there he built, I've got the blueprints of that barn.
Yeah.
And he built that barn for $3,150 back in 1931.
Gosh. Yeah. And the roofing now would cost more than that.
Oh, yeah.
That's truly amazing. Well, let me ask you personally, if you, and we haven't talked much about your mom now, what did she work outside the home?
No, she
had the hardest job. She was a housewife and a mom.
Yeah.
She had the hardest job of anybody. And it's really interesting at how you talking about tying it all together. I came to find out that my wife's family had a connection to your family, and you may not even have known that, but my wife's grandfather was Oscar Pritchett.
He was the greatest guy.
And I know there was a connection there with your all's family. Yeah. And in fact, I remember when Miss Ida Pritchett was in her last days that your sister came and visited her.
Ida would come over there in the afternoon at with mother having twins, she didn't pick us up and put us in the car and go somewhere.
Right.
Somebody stayed there with us, and yeah. Ida was one of them, and Betty Robinson was my mother's cook that yeah. worked in the morning, and she took care of
such a small us. World, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And, of course, I guess my dad, you know, his dad, we were one of those bunches where, you know, my first account was at Farmers. His account was at Farmers. His dad's account was yeah. at Farmers. It's just kind of like with you guys.
Yeah.
People continue to come generation after generation. Yeah. And there's probably people banking there right now whose great-grandparents banked with your dad.
Could have been.
Years yeah. ago. When we talk personally about your dad, give me, as Landy Dale, give me a few words to describe your dad. As dad. Not as a businessman, just as dad.
I was always very proud of him. I don't know if he was always very proud of me.
I'm sure he was.
But he was just always respected
yeah.
By people, and he was true to his word. If he said he was going to do something, mm-hmm. he was going to do it.
He was in an era that a handshake meant something.
Those farms up there that he inherited, about half of the farms up there, and he bought the other half.
Mm-hmm.
And your handshake.
That was it.
That was it.
It's all you needed.
The corner up there at Higbee Mill Road belonged to Jimmy Hewlett. He came over where Dad was working cattle up there by that big barn one morning. And Jimmy came over there about 10 o'clock, and he said, "You mentioned something if I ever want to sell the farm.
Mm-hmm.
That you'd like to have a shot at it." And he said, "I'm here to tell you it's for sale." Dad said, "Well, what do you want for it?" And he told him, he said, "Well, I'll take it." They shook hands and they went on.
And that was it.
That was it.
And that's all it took.
Yeah, that's all it took.
You didn't
that's
have all to it worry needs about to take, really. It's all it needs to take today if you're good, yeah. honest people.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Landy, believe it or not, our time is gone, and I know it goes quick when we get to yeah. talking about. One thing I do want to mention that I find very interesting that you had told me about is your dad's journal. He yeah. he kept a journal for all his life, pretty much?
From 1928, he kept a farm journal. And it was just basically what they did that day or the weather. It was just maybe a line, two lines, three lines.
Yeah.
And it goes all the way back to 28.
Wow. Yeah. And I know that's one of those things that for all the money in the world, you wouldn't take
no,
for that.
It's just
yeah.
But he was talking about one day, and I believe it was 31, it was on the 2nd of August where it rained 8.5 inches. He
wow.
said it set a record.
Wow.
But I want to call Bill Mack and ask him.
That could have happened. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, like I said at the beginning of the program, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say to me anything but good about Mr. William Dale. I know my dad thought very high of him, and he was also very good to the Fain family. And we just appreciate the contribution that he made to this community, and you carry on by being the owner of the bank and all the people down there at Farmers Bank and how they take care of people. Evidently, they're doing something right if they have that kind of share with this many yeah. banks. And we appreciate them sponsoring our program because that's what it takes. You know, this program is all about the way things used to be in Jessamine County. Yeah. And it's not that we're trying to exclude anybody that's not from here. We're just wanting to remember and to teach and to preserve our history. And yeah. so it's very nice to have a sponsor that is along yeah. with us for that yeah. ride and yeah. has the history that the Farmers Bank yeah. and the Dale family does. So best of luck to you and your wife and your family. And thank you again. Thank all the people at Farmers Force for all the work they do.
Well, thank you for having me. I certainly appreciate it.
My thanks to Landy Dale for coming in today and talking about his dad and the Farmers Bank and what they meant to our community. It is our privilege to be with you every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock on All Things Jessamine. We hope that we're able to help you learn a little more about the county that you live in. And we'll do it again next Saturday morning at 11 also, right here for you on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with Farmers Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
It's a different